If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to John chapter 16. We'll get there in just a minute. First, you know this. We've been doing this for the year so far. The truth from your church family. One shares from Psalm 117 in verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. Another shared from Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17. They refused to listen. They failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them. Listen, my brother, my sister, it's the truth. No matter your failure to remember him, the miracles he's performed on your behalf, no matter even your stiff-necked rebellion, listen now, he does not desert, not you, not me, not ever. He doesn't, because he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger. It's the truth. He's kind and compassionate, abounding in love. He's a forgiving God. It's the truth. And oh, what a wonderful truth it is, right? How glad we would be for it, amen? How good for us to hear that truth, to be reminded of it today. Just before we move on, can I add this? It really is, in large part, the purpose of what we've called our homework assignment. There is the truth that we'll consider as the message each Sunday morning, but also there's the truth that we'll hear from each other before the message each Sunday morning. And what an encouragement that truth will be to us. What a blessing it will be to be reminded of it. We've literally experienced that just now, haven't we? Even before the truth that will be our message, the truth from a brother, the truth from a sister that has already ministered to us. That's the goal. That's the purpose of our homework. With that, let me also say then this. So don't forget to be doing your homework. As you read, as you spend time, I hope you're doing it daily, time in the Word, and you come across a truth that catches your attention, that leaps off the pages of Scripture, that speaks so loudly and so clearly, so beautifully to your heart, share that. Listen, here it is. You're blessed by that, so now share that, so that it might be a blessing even to the rest of us as well. How good is God's truth, right? How good it is to hear it, to believe it, to live by it. How good it is even as well to share it with one another. This morning, John chapter 16, it's an incredible statement that Jesus makes, near unbelievable. In fact, we're going to read it. You're going to see it for yourself in your Bible, on your Bible app. There's going to be no denying what's written. There's going to be no denying what Jesus said. And yet, you might still be inclined to think, no way. I don't believe it. That can't be true. It is true. It's our truth for this morning and for a few weeks to come as well. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 5. Now I'm going to him who sent me, verse 6, because I've said these things, you're filled with grief, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Can we just pause for a moment and consider that? Jesus says it's good that he goes. Think of it for a moment. When would we ever say that or think that? It's good that Jesus leaves us. It's good that Jesus is going away from us. No, no way. Not ever. Us on our own, us without him, that can't possibly be good. Not in any way, shape, or form. And yet, it's what he says. It's interesting, this, but I tell you the truth phrase. It's sort of, this might shock you. And that's right, isn't it? What a shock it is. Good that Jesus goes. it's maybe this. You're not going to believe this. As I mentioned earlier, we've read it, you see it, and yet you're maybe still thinking, no way, I don't believe it. Jesus going away, good? No, that's absolutely no good. This might shock you. You may be not going to believe this, but it's the truth. It's for your good that I'm going away. Listen now. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The counselor, some translations, he's the comforter. He's the helper. He's the advocate. He's the Holy Spirit. Truth be told, some in Christianity, I hope not in this room, some get a little uncomfortable when talk of the Holy Spirit begins. Do you hear, though, what Jesus says? Do you understand this morning? Listen, it's not what the preacher says. It's not what the wild Pentecostals, the crazy charismatics, it's not what some fringe element of Christianity says. It's what Jesus says. It's the truth. It's good for you. It's better for you that he goes, the truth. Because if he goes, then he can send to you the counselor, the comforter, the helper, the advocate. He can send to you the Holy Spirit. Some in Christianity, I hope not here, tend to think that this Holy Spirit stuff of Scripture is just too much. It's too emotional, it's too fanatical, it's too out of control, it's too uncomfortable. They tend to think better to set him, the Holy Spirit, aside and just stick with Jesus. Listen, some in Christianity, I hope not ever here at New Life, have bought into a lie. That's a lie. That's not the truth. Listen, the truth this morning, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Listen, the truth this morning, it's good that Jesus goes so that now the Spirit can come. We tend to think what we need the most, what we'd wish for the most, what would make the most difference, Jesus in physical flesh and blood form with us. Can you imagine it? Jesus in the room here and now. Jesus sitting with us in the chair next to us, literally, physically, in flesh and blood, bodily form, at the doctor's office. Jesus going with us into the world out there. Jesus sitting at the table with us, speaking audible words of comfort, of counsel, of encouragement, of help. Can you imagine it? We tend to think that's it. That's what we want. That's what we need. Listen, in that, we in fact think completely contrary to Jesus. And can I remind you, Jesus thinks and Jesus knows better than you. So to think contrary to him, it's to think wrong. How we tend to think, as unimaginable as it is, as beautiful as it would be, as much as we had envied the disciples for their flesh and blood encounter and interaction with the Lord, as much as we look forward to heaven when we'll finally and for all eternity see Jesus face to face. Listen, because it's contrary to his thinking, how we tend to think is wrong. All that we want, all the disciples got, all that heaven will be, you're wrong to think that's what you need here and now. Listen, what Jesus thinks, what Jesus says, the truth. Listen, better than Jesus in the room with us is Jesus going away from us so that he can send the Holy Spirit to us. Do you understand this morning? Listen, if that's the truth, and it is because he who is the truth said it. It is the truth. And because it is, then how important, how necessary, how vital it is for us to know, to make room for, to experience the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. Let's begin this morning. The Holy Spirit, who He is. Simple enough to answer, He is God. One writes this, what if I told you that for the rest of this week, in every text you send, every email you write, every conversation you have, regardless of whom you're talking to, you have to skip every third word? How do you think you would do? How long do you think you would last? How helpful or productive do you think you'd be? Be awkward, if not downright frustrating, right? Be hard to get across the simplest of ideas. Skipping every third word confuses and confounds the clearest and even most compelling things. Yet for so many Christians, this is how they live their life when it comes to God, missing the fullness of the power, the presence, and the significance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. God, we mostly understand. Jesus, we get. But the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit is just as much a part of the Trinity as God the Father and Jesus the Son, we know so little about the Holy Spirit. It's as if we're living with a two-thirds God. Another writes, the Holy Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, he calls him the forgotten God. He writes, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected. And while no evangelical will deny his existence, I'm willing to bet there are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they have experienced his presence or action in their lives over the past year, and many of them do not even believe they can. He continues, the benchmark of success in church services has become more about attendance than the movement of the Holy Spirit. The entertainment model of church maybe alleviated some of our boredom for a couple of hours a week, but it filled our churches with self-focused consumers rather than self-sacrificing servants attuned and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I believe it's true. I believe that in the church and as Christians, we have forgotten God, as it were. We have contented ourselves with a two-thirds God. We have ignored the Holy Spirit's place in Scripture. We've neglected His importance in our lives and in the church. We have a tendency to confine the Spirit to the book of Acts, to the New Testament believer, to the New Testament church. We look for Him there, we find Him there, we leave Him there. But that's not right. All of Scripture from beginning to end, it's really God's story. All of history, really His story. It's the amazing unfolding, the unveiling of God's person and character, His heart, His passion for His creation, His grace, His mercy. It's God's story, His redemptive plan to save a fallen humanity. And it's Him using ordinary people, placing His Spirit on them, enabling them to do then extraordinary things to fulfill this, His redemptive plan. And even the history that's being written right now, in our day, it's still His story. It's still then His Spirit empowering ordinary people, us, to fulfill still His redemptive plan. We maybe miss it at times, no doubt forget it, but God's story, this blessed third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, He's been in the story, He's been with the story, He's been over the story, He's been through the story from the very beginning. And His work continues in the story that God continues to write in you and me, and through you and me. Genesis chapter 1, at creation, the earth is formless and empty, darkness over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God at the very beginning, at the creation of it all, the Spirit of God present, hovering over it all. From creation to the wilderness wandering of God's people, in order to lead, in order to guide 3 million plus through the wilderness and to the promised land, Moses needs some help. He needs a team. So in Numbers chapter 11, 70 elders are chosen, and God takes of the Spirit that was on Moses and puts it on them so that they'd be spiritually equipped and spiritually empowered to help Him carry the burden of the people. In Exodus chapter 31, God chooses two men and fills them with the Spirit of God. might sound odd, but he does that so that they can make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, cut and set stones, work in wood, engage in all kinds of craftsmanship for the building of the tabernacle. Joshua was filled with the Spirit, so were the judges. Over and over again, we read it of them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Gideon and Jephthah and Samson. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, the Spirit of God rushed upon Saul, and he prophesied with the prophets. According to 1 Samuel chapter 16, from the day that Samuel anointed him king, the Spirit of the Lord was upon David in power. From the kings to the prophets, Elijah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Zechariah, and then into the New Testament. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. His father, Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit. His mother, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon a young woman named Mary, and she conceives by the Holy Spirit, the Son of God. We read of the old man Simeon. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him he would not die until his eyes looked upon the Messiah. And then, moved by the Spirit, he's at the temple at the very moment Joseph and Mary bring Jesus in. In his baptism, the Spirit of God will descend on Jesus. Jesus will begin his ministry with these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And he, the Spirit of the Lord, has anointed me to preach good news, proclaim freedom and healing, the Lord's favor." Do you understand? The Holy Spirit is not just a Book of Acts, New Testament church, New Testament believer thing. Not at all. From creation to the wilderness, judges and kings, prophets, to the events surrounding Jesus' birth, his baptism, his ministry, from the initial moment of creation and then all the way through, in everything God did, the Spirit is ever present. God's story, the Spirit has been in it, through it, over it, from the very beginning, the work of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, all of it to accomplish the plans and purposes of God. Listen, the Scripture makes abundantly clear the Holy Spirit is as much a person of the Godhead as God the Father, God the Son. Often maybe we don't understand or recognize him like the other two. He is of equal importance. Listen now, he is of equal deity. And he has been just as active even in the history of humanity and thus is just as essential. Listen, we don't ignore the Holy Spirit's place in Scripture. We dare not neglect his importance in our lives. If you would ever claim to have need of God the Father, if you would ever confess your need of Jesus the Son, listen now, then surely you must understand your need for God the Holy Spirit. One writes this, "The Holy Spirit is essential to a believer's existence, as essential as air is to staying alive." Another writes, "The church can't operate without the Spirit. You can have programs, printed bulletins, you can have organization boards and committees, but the church cannot function without the Spirit. Not even can our personal lives. We might know a lot about theology, we might study our Bible on a regular basis, but unless we have the operating presence of the Spirit in our life, we are not doing anything that really counts for the kingdom of God. Our ability to work for God and to pray to God and live for God and affect others for God will be dependent on the measure of the Holy Spirit received by us, dwelling in us and working through us. The Christian religion is hopeless without the Holy Spirit. The church would lose its note of authority, the secret of wisdom and the gift of power, if it would persistently and willfully neglect the Holy Spirit. Confusion and impotence are the inevitable results when the ways and resources of the world are substituted for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit." The person of the Holy Spirit, may it be for you, may it be for me. Listen, New Life, may it ever be for us. We will not ignore him. We will not neglect him. Of course we won't. He is God, after all. We wouldn't ignore, we wouldn't neglect God the Father. We wouldn't God the Son. We won't God the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit, he's God. We're going to add to that before we move on. He's not just God. Listen now. He's God in us. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. With these words, Jesus marks something new for the future. Consider it. The Spirit of God, this counselor, this comforter, this helper, this advocate, had been there all along. We just said that a moment ago. From creation, the judges, the kings, the prophets, the disciples were no doubt most familiar with the Holy Spirit's empowering, enabling ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things in fulfilling God's plans and God's purposes for his people and even for the world. The Spirit had been there. They had known the Spirit. The Spirit had been with them. So the question, why the I have to go? Why the it's for your good that I leave so that the Spirit can be given by the Father at the request of the Son? The Spirit had already been around, already been present. Why this talk of the Spirit given when the Spirit had already been given? Listen, because something new, something very significant was about to happen. A key shift. The world wouldn't know him, but you will. You will know the Spirit because he dwells with you. Listen now. And he will be in you. Do you understand the difference? The Lord, by way of the Spirit, might have come upon Samson. That's not for you and for me, my brother. The Spirit of the Lord doesn't come upon you, per se. Not what we're talking about here. The Spirit of the Lord lives in you. He's in you. He doesn't come upon you when you're in the middle of ministry and leave you when the ministry's done. No. That's Samson and Jephthah and Gideon, and that's David, and that's Saul, and that's Joshua. That's all the rest of the Old Testament. That's all the rest of the old. Now we live in the new, and the reality is this. The Spirit of God doesn't come upon you and leave when time to leave comes. He doesn't come upon you so you can do something great and leave you when you're not needed to do something great anymore. He lives in you. He dwells within you. Do you understand what Jesus says? You know the Holy Spirit, you know his presence, but there's going to be an experience that's going to be very different. The Holy Spirit, think of it. The infinite, eternal, all-powerful God, the Holy Spirit, is going to be in you. Consider this. Jesus says to the disciples, you had me with you. You've been able to walk and talk with me, but I have to go so that you can have the Spirit with you and in you. Jesus is getting ready to send the disciples to the uttermost parts of the earth. In his earthly body, he can't be everywhere at once. If Peter's in Rome, he can't be with Thomas on his way to India, or with Paul in Macedonia, or with Philip in Samaria. Think of it for a moment. If he doesn't go, all who are believers in Jesus, listen, are only going to be able to get as close to God and even help from God as they can be in proximity to Jesus. Do you understand? If you're sick, you can't be healed unless you can get to Jesus. If you're discouraged, you can't be encouraged unless you can get to wherever Jesus is. But if he goes, he will give us his Spirit, and his Spirit will forever be with us and in us. You understand? This is literally what Jesus says. Better than having God with you, better than having God near you, is having God in you. My brother, my sister, the truth, where you are as a child of God, listen to me, there God is also. You don't have to go anywhere to get your help. You don't have to track Jesus down to a church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. Wherever you are, he is there because he, God, the Holy Spirit, is in you. Jesus wanted his disciples to know they're never going to be alone. In fact, he will tell them exactly that. I'm not leaving you as orphans, he'll say. He didn't want them feeling the anxiety they were feeling in that moment. Yes, he's leaving. But in his leaving, there would now be the opportunity for the counselor, the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, God the Holy Spirit to come to be forever with them and forever in them. What comfort. Wow, what encouragement that is, right? Don't you know when Peter and John are imprisoned, beaten and threatened, don't you know that they held dearly to this, the abiding presence of God by way of His Holy Spirit, that He's not just with them but in them forever, that they're not apart from God because they're in jail and God's not in jail. He's out there outside the jail somewhere. No, no way, not ever, because God, the Holy Spirit, He's in them, so then He's with them always, even in the middle of a jail cell. Don't you know it's that that made the difference in the lives of the disciples in the New Testament church as they turned the world upside down in proclaiming the good news. Don't you know the same difference it would make in you and in me, for us, in our world today, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit? Listen to me, if you're a follower of Jesus, listen, you're His disciple then, today. And He wants you to know that it really is true. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit abides with you. The Holy Spirit abides in you. Now, empowered by Him, go turn the world upside down. The Holy Spirit, who is God, but not just God, rather, in fact, God with us and God in us. This is what happened the moment you surrendered your life to Jesus. This is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Listen now, but only in part. It's the truth. God Himself, by way of His Spirit, who is God, no less God than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at salvation, takes up residence inside of us. It's the truth. So also is this the truth, but there's more. There's more than the salvation experience of God's abiding presence in us. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I know it. I know that you are. You're encouraged. You're strengthened. You're comforted as you sense the truth of what's been said this morning. The Counselor, the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate has come. The infinite, the eternal, all-powerful God, the Holy Spirit, He's come and He dwells with you and He's in you. You know that it's good. Even that Jesus has left so that you can have that, so that you can have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit with you and in you, no matter where you ever are. You know that it makes all the difference. So my question then, why would you be content to stop only at that initial infilling, if you will, when there's still more, a subsequent and ensuing infilling for you to experience? Why would you ever want to miss that? We don't want to miss it. We want the infilling to go with the infilling. As a believer today, know without a doubt that the Spirit's in you. Know without a doubt that the Spirit of God is in you. And in addition to that, listen, know this, that you can be baptized today, completely immersed today in Him who is God, into His abiding presence and life-changing, world-changing even power. The Holy Spirit, who He is, He's God. He's God with us and He's God in us. The Holy Spirit, what He does, John 16 and verse 14, He will bring glory to Me. Who He is? God. What He does? He glorifies Jesus. By definition, to glorify is to make glorious, to present as glorious. It's being worthy of fame and admiration. It's having a striking beauty or splendor that evokes feelings of delighted wonder and awe. That's what the Spirit does. He points to Jesus. He reveals Jesus as the glorious one, the one worthy of fame and admiration, the one worthy of honor and praise and worship. He points to Jesus. He reveals Jesus as the beautiful one, evoking then within us feelings of delighted awe and wonder in response to who Jesus is. By definition, to glorify is to light up brilliantly. It's to magnify. Listen, this is the very specific and clearly stated work and ministry of the Spirit. He draws our attention to Jesus. He centers our attention on Jesus. He represents Jesus as he is, glorious. He makes Jesus shine, if you will. He puts the spotlight on Jesus so that all else fades away into the shadows. And all that remains and all that we see is our Lord. He magnifies Jesus. He makes Jesus to be bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives. He glorifies Jesus. You understand, this is why we need, this is why we want, this is why we long for the Spirit's work in us. Why we extend the invitation to him, Holy Spirit, without restraint, without limit, work in me, have your way in me. Because that is to simply ask of him without restraint, without limit, Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in me. Listen, do you understand, as you open your life to more and more the working of the Spirit in you, more and more, listen, the Lord of glory will come in, and more, your life will be flooded with the awe and the wonder of who Jesus is. Don't you want that? Don't you want Jesus to be glorified in you? New Life, come on, don't you want Jesus to be glorified in this place? Don't you know that it's that that we need above all else? Jesus to be glorified here in this room. One says this, the Holy Spirit comes to extol, to praise, and to magnify Jesus. That is first and foremost his fingerprint. He also adds, if Jesus wasn't glorified, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. He, that being the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, that being Jesus. In the end, everything about the Spirit is really all about the Lord. And so then as we avail ourselves to his work in our lives, it'll be all about Jesus. Listen, all about loving Jesus, the greatest commandment of Scripture, the fulfillment of Scripture, the one thing that sums it all up, all the law, all the prophets, love God. But you know it's more than that. You have to love him with all your heart, all of it. And if that weren't impossible enough, you have to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and still more, even with all your mind, with all your strength. How can you possibly do that? The truth, full disclosure, you can't. Oh, listen, but the Spirit, who is all about Jesus, who can make you to be all about Jesus, so that with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength, you do love him, the Spirit will help you to love him as you should. The Spirit will help him. Listen, in the words of Jesus, the Spirit will help you, my brother, my sister, to fulfill the one commandment that sums up all the rest, to love God. We avail ourselves to the Spirit's work. It'll be all about Jesus. Our lives will be all about Jesus, all about worshiping him. Do you understand why we need the Spirit? Do you understand the difference the Spirit makes? Listen, I'm telling you this morning, it's not about a song, it's not about a voice, it's not about music, it's not about words on a screen or words in a hymnal. It's about the Spirit of the Lord. If your reason for not worshiping Jesus has one of those things included in it, I'm just going to tell you, you've bought into a lie. You're wrong. Here's the truth. You need more of the Spirit of the Lord in your life, in your heart, because the Spirit of the Lord will set your eyes to Jesus. And you won't be able to help yourself but to worship him. Be all about us obeying Jesus. All about us looking to Jesus. In Galatians, it's the Spirit that helps us to put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. So like Jesus, we live in love and joy and peace and patience. We're kind, good, faithful, and gentle. We have self-control. We look to Jesus and we look like Jesus. The Spirit does that work in us. The Spirit always and only points us to the Lord. Listen, you stay in step with the Spirit and you'll walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You'll be like him. You'll act like him. You'll talk like him. You'll respond like him. You'll look to him and you'll look like him. As we avail ourselves to the Spirit's work, our lives will be all about prioritizing Jesus. We'll put him first. The Spirit will help us to remember to always and only live in this truth, that all else compared to Jesus, it's empty. It's worthless. It's nothing. Paul will say it this way, it's rubbish. And for that, the Spirit will help us that we never put anything above Him. We never put anything before Him. As we surrender our lives to the Spirit's work, because He's all about Jesus, all about glorifying Jesus, the Spirit will make our lives to be all about Jesus, all about pursuing Him, devoted and dedicated to Him, trusting Him, serving Him, sold out to Him, surrendered to Him. Because He's all about Jesus, the Spirit will remind you of the price Jesus paid for you, that you might belong to Him. He will help you. He will empower you then to live your life, surrender to Him, all to Him. With the Spirit's help, the Spirit at work in you, all to Him you will freely give. Worldly pleasures, all forsaken. The Spirit's work will let Jesus have us, will let Jesus take us, all of us, all to Him we will surrender. The Spirit's work, He'll make us to be wholly His. As we let the Spirit do His work in us, our lives will be consumed with and by Jesus. It was the words of John the Baptist. He must increase, I must decrease. The Spirit's work, He'll make those words to become your own. As the Spirit is given place to work, because He's all about Jesus, glorifying Jesus, our lives will be all about Jesus, all about proclaiming Him and the wonders of His love. He, that being the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, that being Jesus. One says this, when the Holy Spirit is present, your sin will be exposed, the truth will be explained, and your heart will be enamored with Jesus. Don't you want that? Don't you want more of Him? No matter where you're at this morning, don't you recognize the need for more? Don't you want to see Him? Don't you want to see Him better? Don't you want to see Him more clearly? Don't you want a fresh glimpse again of His glory? Don't you want Jesus? Don't you want to love Him more, better? I know you love Him. Don't you sense the prompting within your heart? Oh, but I want to love Him more. I want to love Him better. Don't you want to serve Him more and better? I want to serve my King. I want to do great things for my King, for His glory, for His kingdom. Don't you want to obey Him? Don't you want to look like Him? Don't you want to pursue Him? Don't you want to hunger and thirst for Him? Don't you want to trust Him more? As this world gets darker and darker, don't you sense the need? We need to trust Him more and more. Spirit of the living God, help us to do that. Don't you want to be sold out to Jesus? Completely enamored with Him. Don't you want your life consumed with Him? Listen, don't you want to tell others about Him? Don't you want Jesus? Listen, so then we long for the Spirit's work in us. We pray for it. We wait for it. We wait on Him. One says the Spirit works within us to do what's necessary to awaken and deepen our awareness of Jesus's presence in our lives, drawing our hearts ever toward Him in faith, love, obedience, communion, worship, and praise. If you want more, the awareness of Christ's presence in you, if you want the awareness, you do have to be awakened and deepened. If you want your heart drawn to Him in faith, love for Him, obedience to Him, communion with Him, worship and praise of Him, if you want your heart drawn to Jesus, then what you really want is the Spirit at work in you, because that, all that, is exactly what the Spirit does. My brother, my sister, let the Holy Spirit do His work in you today without limit, without restraint. Let Him give to you Jesus. Without limit, without restraint, let Him glorify Jesus in you and through you. I'm going to Him who sent me. Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief, but I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. That's the truth. Hear it, believe it. Now live in it. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. Make room for Him. Make Him to be your passionate pursuit as He prompts, as He ministers, as He reveals Himself to you. Ready yourself to embrace Him. Embrace His work. Can I invite you to make it your prayer for you, for your family, for this church and this church family? Holy Spirit, today, for the weeks to come, have your way in me. Have your way in my brother, my sister. Do what you want to do. Do what only you can do in them. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Have your way in this church. Holy Spirit, have your way in and with New Life. Can I encourage you that you would be sensitive to what the Spirit says to you, what the Spirit prompts in you, what the Spirit wants to do, what the Spirit begins to do in you? Can I challenge you? Would you let down the walls? Would you open wide the gates that the Spirit of the Lord may come in? Would you let Him work without restraint, without limit? Would you let Him work? How about this? A whatever kind of attitude and mindset, a whatever kind of heart. Holy Spirit, whatever. Whatever you want to do in me, here I am, do it. Holy Spirit, whatever you're wanting to change in me, change it. Whatever you're wanting to fix in me, whatever it is, do it. Whatever you're wanting to speak to me, whatever the message, whatever the call, whatever the conviction, whatever the work, Holy Spirit, here I am, whatever it is, do it. Even in fact, how about not just whatever, but as well wherever. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to take me, wherever you want to lead me, wherever you want to send me. Holy Spirit, whatever, wherever, here I am. Do it. Have your way. Do what you want to do. Do your work. Do a Pentecost work. Do a clothed in power from on high work in me. Do a glorifying Jesus work in me. Can I invite you this morning, wait on and wait for the Holy Spirit. That's right, and good response in all things related to Him, who He is and what He does. Wait on Him. Wait for Him to move. Wait for Him to speak to you, to help you, to empower you. In Acts chapter 2, we read it a moment ago, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the ministry of Jesus. This is what Jesus does. John baptized, he immersed people in water. But Jesus, this is what He does. He baptizes, He immerses people in the Spirit. It's something different. It's something in addition to the Spirit dwelling in you at salvation. This baptism that Jesus does, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, likely will be the message at some point of the next few weeks. It's not the message this morning. And yet still, for some in the room, this may be your best response. Like Jesus told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Not until you've received the gift of the Father. Not until you've been baptized. The evidence of that. The first evidence. The initial evidence. Speaking in other tongues, in other languages. You might sense the same for you this morning. Jesus speaking to you into your heart today. Wait. Don't leave this place until you've experienced the same. The gift of the Father, the baptism ministry of Jesus. Wait. Don't leave this place until Pentecost has come to you. Can I encourage you this morning? Stay in step with the Spirit. Crucify the sinful nature and its desires. Be led by the Spirit instead. You hear the truth this morning. You believe it. Now live in it. Listen. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and keep on being filled. Unless you missed the entire message. Unless you think that's something different than it is. Listen. Be filled with God this morning. That's who the Spirit is. Be filled with Him so that Jesus might be glorified in you and through you. That's what the Spirit does. So, Jesus, we pray this morning that you would open the windows of heaven and let the Spirit of the living God be poured out in this place, in each life in this room. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. You are God. How are we not going to welcome you? Of course we do. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. into this church. We're not afraid. We're not bothered. We're not intimidated. That's too weird. That's too out of control. That's too fanatical and radical. No. We understand, we recognize this morning, by welcoming you, we are welcoming God into this room. And oh, how we want that. How we long for that. Holy Spirit, be welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, be welcome in my life. I'm sorry for anything in my life that grieves you, Holy Spirit. I'm sorry for anything in my life that pushes you out, that leaves no room for you. I'm sorry for the times that I close my ears to what the Spirit of God says to me. I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. I invite you, I welcome you into my life, into my family, as shepherd of this church, as leader, as pastor of this congregation. I welcome you into this place. Be welcome here, always, always welcome in this place, Holy Spirit. Of course we welcome you. You are our God. And Holy Spirit, do your work. Do your work. Let Jesus be glorified here. Let Jesus be glorified. I'm sorry. Too many times, too many people see Denny. Too much Denny. All about Denny. I'm sorry. Let them see Jesus in me. Wherever I go, whenever I go, be glorified. I pray that everyone that walks into the doors of this church, no matter when they come, they recognize that Jesus is glorified here. Every ministry that we as a church will ever do, every outreach, every conversation that we'll ever have, every help that we'll ever try to give, that Jesus always, above anything and everything else, you are glorified. That your Spirit does that in us and through us. I pray it for me. As pastor, shepherd of this church, I pray it for this church. Now, my brother, my sister, you pray it for your life just for a moment. I'm going to pray the blessing of the Lord over you in just a moment. Our time is done. But before that, just take a minute. Close yourself in with the Lord this morning. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. Come on, you do that. You do that. Let the Spirit speak to you. Listen, my brother, my sister, it might be true. The Spirit might have to tell you this morning to make room for me. That's got to go. You've got to do that, my brother, my sister. You got to respond rightly to that. Let that thing go so that the Holy Spirit might come in, so that God might come in and do his glorifying Jesus work in you. Come on, welcome him. You welcome him. However you do that this morning, maybe you want to come to these altars. Maybe you want to stand to your feet. Maybe you want to lift your hands, open them wide to heaven. Jesus, pour out your Spirit in and on me. Put me under the downspout of your Spirit. Pour it out over my life. I welcome you. I welcome you. Come on, you speak those words. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I welcome you to come and move in my life. Work in my life. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. You're welcome here. You tell him, church. Invite him to do his work in you. Come on, invite him to do his glorifying Jesus work in you. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of the Spirit's work in you. He wants to glorify Jesus in and through you. Let him do that. Let him do that this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, it's our prayer. It's our cry again to you. Come rest on us. Come rest on us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come do it again. Come do it again. Fill us again. Pour out your Spirit again. Let this place be shaken again. Let there be the sound again of a mighty rushing wind. Rest on us, Spirit of the living God. Rest on us, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We welcome you. We make room for you. We wait on you. We depend on you. We prioritize you, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come rest on us. Come rest on us, we pray. Speak to your people this morning, Jesus, we pray. Speak to your people this morning, Jesus, we pray. Pour out your Spirit on your people, we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord? I declare over you the Lord's word, the Lord's will. Listen now, the Lord bless you and keep you, my brother, my sister, my church family. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. Listen now. The Lord turn to you and fill you with himself. Fill you with his Spirit. The Lord turn to you, my brother, my sister, and do in you more than he's ever done before, a glorifying Jesus work. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive that blessing? Would you say amen this morning? Amen and amen. God bless you. This-